Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 10, Joshua chapter 10, before we get into our study tonight, the Easter lilies up on the platform, they've served their purpose. And so tonight after the service, if you'd like to have one of these, there's still some of them not even fully bloomed. We have all the Easter lilies up the baptismal up front on the sides, even in the foyer there. Not the other greenery, but the Easter lilies, okay? If you'd like to have those, it's just first come, first serve. Whoever wants them, you can have those after the services tonight. Joshua chapter 10, as we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, we found so much that God has recorded for us to understand a little bit more about this Bible character and then learning of these biblical principles that are associated with what God has revealed to us from the life of these Bible characters. Last week, as we looked, God recorded two great miracles for Joshua to accomplish the victory over the five kings of the Amorites. Now, this was something he was doing. It was God's will. And Joshua prayed, and then Joshua told the sun to set still. And God answered that prayer, a miracle that God is able even to work beyond our wildest imaginations. And as I said last week, as we looked at the miracle of the hail that destroyed, killed more of the enemy than what the sword did, and then as God was able to stop the earth on its own axis so it did not rotate and gave him double the daylight to be able to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, we find that that ought to encourage everyone to pray. Amen. Amen. To know that we serve a God that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Now, we know that, as we said last week, 99.9% of the time, he wants us to live with nature, well, how God has established things. And so we should not be looking to live by miracle after miracle after miracle. We need to be learning to live by natural means, the nature that God has established, okay? Work through the doctors, work through all the different things. Don't always expect that miracle, but it's a blessing to know that at any time, God can perform a miracle if it's within his will. And so it's just a blessing to be able to see that, what he did for Joshua. He's the same God for us today. Well, right after that, and what we're going to be studying tonight is chapter 10, verse 15 down to verse 27. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read these verses. God records the punishment or the judgment of these five kings. Joshua chapter 10, verse 15. And Joshua returned and all of Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua of Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. They did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with them, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and have a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until evening. It came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church tonight. And now as we have looked and read this passage of Scripture, I know that you have truths for us tonight to receive and to, Lord, just to apply to our own lives. And I pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God records the punishment, which would also be the judgment of the five kings of the Amorites. Now, in verse 7, we find, or verse 17, rather, they tried to hide a little bit about these kings. I mean, they abandoned their troops, and they're trying to hide themselves. Now, that shows that they're not thinking about anything but themselves. Now, these were evil men. But I want you to see here, this was not the trait of a godly man. A godly man would have said, I'm going to stay with my troops and we're going to fight until we die. I mean, we're going to stick with it. I'm not going to sacrifice my troops so that I can hide and try to escape. And so these five kings were very ungodly men in many different ways. But we find that was just one way that we find here that they're hiding out, trying to escape and have separated themselves from their troops. Well, Joshua wisely secures their capture by saying, all right, now that I know they're in there, go ahead and put stones on the opening of the cave where they cannot escape. It would becomes their somewhat their prison. It would become their tomb later on. But he tells them to continue with God's will to judge the land. Continue to hunt down all of the other troops and destroy them. Utterly destroy them. Now, verse 19, he says, and stay not ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God, now this is the key, the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. The entire land of Canaan was being judged by God. You see, God is no respecter of persons. God didn't say, well, I like Israel more than I like the inhabitants of the Canaan, so I'm going to give the land of Canaan to Israel because I like them more, because they're my children. That's not what happened. God was judging the land of Canaan for their evil ways. God raised up his nation. God raised up Israel to stand for righteousness. Amen. God raised up Israel to be able to judge the land of Canaan. And after the land of Canaan would have been judged, then he would give them the land of Canaan as a promised land. God does not, just because you're a Christian, okay, now he loves you, but God so loves the world. He's not going to take something away from somebody else to give it to you for no reason. The same God that we serve today is the same God of the Old Testament. We just, people don't understand the Old Testament, what's going on in the Old Testament. Israel was to represent righteousness. Israel's representing an almighty God. And God was judging certain things on this earth. He always has. God will judge sin. God will judge ungodly lifestyles. God will judge nations because of their lifestyle, because of their sin, because of their departure from God's ways. And so we find here that the land of Canaan was being judged because of how they inhabited the land. It was a land of milk and honey. But there was a lot of evil taking place, a lot of satanic rituals, a lot of different gods being worshipped, so-called gods. Satan was having a heyday amongst the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And God says, I'm going to judge the land of Canaan. I'm going to raise up my people Israel. I'm going to move them across the wilderness, and they're going to come to the land of Canaan, and they're going to be my tool of judgment. I will lift them up. Now, later on, you find that when Israel turned away from God, then God judged Israel, and he raised up the Chaldeans to judge Israel and take them into captivity. But at this particular time, they are looking to God, and God is raising them up so that sin on the earth would be judged. Ungodly lifestyles on the earth, satanic rituals, satanic practices, following all kinds of ungodliness will be judged in God's timing. So the entire land of Canaan was being judged by God for their evil and ungodly lifestyle. They were to show no mercy, but they were to utterly destroy. They had passed the point of mercy. They had passed the point of repentance. They were so far gone, God said, they will be destroyed. And so the orders to Israel, you are going to be my tool that I'm going to use to judge the land of Canaan. And as you judge them the way that I tell you to judge them. Show no mercy. Utterly destroy everything. Wow. So understanding that and helps us to better understand why God records what Joshua does to these five kings. Now, first of all, he says, all right, now we got them secured. They are possibly those most accountable, because they were leading these ungodly nations to do what they were doing. Leadership is always more accountable than those that are following. There's no excuse for those that are following. Because if you're following something you shouldn't be following, you ought to stop and start following something you should be following. It's not an excuse for wrong behavior. There is no excuse for wrong behavior. But those in positions of authority, those in positions to establish the laws of the land, they are going to be more accountable than those that are following the laws of the land and doing whatever they're allowed to get by with. Verse 26, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until evening. I want you to turn over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21, because that is following God's law. Joshua is doing what God would have them to do by following what laws that God established for them to live by. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, and laying the foundation here, you got to get a hold of this. Chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, and of course Moses is giving the laws of God and instructing the people on how they are to live, and especially when they get into the promised land. And if a man have committed a sin, verse 22, worthy of death. If a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. Now the one method of death by Israel, the main method would have been by stoning. But there was another type of death, and this would be a public death, to where they would be able to see that, and it would be a deterrent to crime. And so we find here it says, and if he be put to death, and thou shalt hang him on a tree. If there would call for this to be a deterrent to crime and a public message to be sent, and you hang them on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So now Joshua is in the land of Canaan, and these are worthy of death. These leaders no doubt had murdered even some of their own population. They had allowed all these ungodly acts to take place. They were doing so many things, and if we would read and we've studied a little bit more about how they lived in the land of Canaan, it was just nothing but evil, ungodly. They were sacrificing children to gods. They were immoral in every sense of the way. You can't imagine the immorality that took place in the land of Canaan. These leaders had agreed to murdering some. These leaders had agreed to this kind of ungodliness. They were the ones that would be mostly accountable because they would have been the ones that were setting the laws of the land. And the laws of the land would have been opposite of God. And so they deserved death. And they desired, Joshua wanted to set a message that we will not put up with this. This is what happens to those that follow that kind of lifestyle. This is a deterrent for anybody that would want to follow anything that has to do with these kings. But in doing that, he said, not going to leave them hanging more than one day. Because the law tells us not to let them hang overnight. The law tells us to cut them down. He's following the laws that had been established to live by in the land of Canaan. So understanding that, why did God record this for us? I believe there's a purpose for this, for us today in this New Testament and church age that we're living in. Judgment is not pretty. Whether it be an electric chair, whether it be a gas, whatever form of capital punishment, it is not something to be desired. It is not something that is going to be pretty to look upon. Judgment was not developed to be pretty. Judgment has been developed to be able to deal with the crime that had been committed. And whatever the degree of crime, there needs to be a degree of punishment. And as we follow through with the degree of punishment, if the punishment has to meet the crime committed, it is a deterrent. Judgment is not pretty, but it is of God, and it is necessary. It has always been necessary. Old Testament stoning. As they stone Achan. Not only Achan, but his wife and his children, his family. And you think, boy, how cruel and how unfair. It was necessary. Established by God because of the crime that had been committed. This was the punishment that God said needed to take place, and it needed to take place in public. A deterrent? Better believe it. You could have your children stoned if they backtalked you. Think that would be a deterrent today? And I'm not saying we need to go back to that. I'm just saying what has been established, that's not the laws that we live by today. But the understanding of why the necessity for the judgment or the law that God had established, stoning was not pretty nor pleasant, but according to God, necessary. The free will of man needs to be kept in check and accountable. When the free will of man is not kept in check and accountable, you have the kind of society that God looked to, that he vomited after and caused the whole world to be destroyed by the flood. When there is no law and order, when the free will is not kept in check, because all of us have a sinful nature and we all have a free will, and we will get by with what we think we can get by with. unless we know that there is going to be an accountability. Genesis in chapter 9 and verse 6. Again, we could go into a lot more than that, but I want you to see this because this is human government was established by God very clearly. This was to govern the world, all humanity. And he lays out several different things here, but verse 6 is the most important when it comes to this capital punishment. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, it says this, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man." By man, that means a judge and jury. That does not mean an individual. He is setting up here human government. "By man and man's government, if you will, shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." He would tell us before that if an animal killed a man, devoured a man, that animal would be put to death. Because man is what's most important on this earth today, not animals. God created animals for man. He did not create man for animals. And he did not create man as an animal. He created man in his own likeness, in his own image, with an eternal soul. Human government was established by God. Laws protect life and possessions. 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe this is why God recorded this judgment of these five kings. All of this has been established. Joshua was following the laws that God established for him in the land of Canaan. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13 and 14. "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." Obey the laws of the land, basically, is what he's saying. If you don't like the laws of the land, then move to a land that you can obey the laws. Amen. Amen. "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, God, for the punishment of evildoers." That's human government. "And for the praise of them that do well." Laws protect life and possessions. Human government is to establish the laws of the land and then carry them out, live by them. Not pity, no pity for deserved punishment. Well, I feel sorry for them, so let's not follow through with the law. No, that's not how God has designed it. You establish the laws, the punishment to meet the crime, and follow through with it. People break the law. Take emotions out of it. If somebody is not living by the laws that we have established in our land, we should not pity them to the place to where we say, we're not going to pass the law in judgment for the crime that was committed. The crime that's committed, it's already been determined, this is going to be the law passed. And we've established it, live by it. That's just Bible. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Proverbs chapter 1. God even refers to this in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1 concerning people that he has given opportunity to repent, and he has revealed to them knowledge and revealed to them their evil ways, and they have turned not. I believe this would be the land of Canaan. Before God said, "I'm going to judge Canaan by raising up my children Israel to come and judge the land and then possess the land." In the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 22, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If you'll just be ready to repent, I'll let you know what you need to do. I'll pour out my spirit. I'll bless you. I'll help you. Because I have called and ye refused. Only God knows who refuses his call. Only God knows who refuses the opportunities they have to do right. If you have opportunity to do right, God knows it. Whether you do right or not, whether you are caught in that act by the law and have to suffer the consequences of the law, whether you are caught by the law or not, God sees it. And if you fail to confess and forsake that, and you turn away from God's mercy and his grace, because I have called and ye've refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also, now that that's happened, no pity, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, the judgment comes. When distress and anguish come up upon you, the judgment because of what you've done, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. If you're only repenting because you got caught, God says that's not going to be forgiven. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't choose God. They didn't look to God. They didn't fear what the judgment of the sin. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. And then he brings it all together, and this is a warning. And then he says, but don't do that. Don't go there. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. That's there if you take advantage of the opportunities before it's too late. Can you imagine what's taking place in a devil's hell today? It's too late. It's too late. So there is to be judgment executed by man and God. There is to be judgment executed. Sin will be judged. Sin will be judged. Be sure your sin will find you out. If not by man, mark it down by an almighty God. In this life, human government is a tool that God has anointed to judge evil, to protect life and possessions. But even human government does not always get it right. Some have even gotten by with murder. Yeah. We're all probably thinking of some of the same cases over the past years where it's known. Because of enough money, they got by with murder. Is that just? But just because judgment is not immediate, it does not mean there will be no judgment. Because God has the one that designed judgment. God established a spiritual law that even works in the life that we live in today. Above and beyond government, human government. beyond the judge and jury. Galatians chapter 6. These kings were trying to hide, get by. No, they were going to be judged. Joshua sealed it. He knew that God would have them to be judged, and they were judged in a very cruel way, but it was necessary. But it was a judge according to the law that God established. Be hanged, left for a day. A deterrent put into that tomb that they thought they were going to escape in. I mean, just understand, that's what's been recorded. The book of Galatians in chapter 6, it says this in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can I tell you that when human government fails to get it right, this law that God has established will always come into effect? You think you might have got by with it because you didn't get put in jail. You think you got by with it because nobody found you out. Well, the Bible says your sin will find you out, and the one way that it'll find you out, even in this life, if it's not through human government, it is through reaping what you've sown. That even holds true with the lost as well as the saved. It's a biblical principle that God has established, a spiritual principle that is applicable in this present day and age that we live in. You have to understand, you might get by from the law and you might not get arrested for what you've done, but that will not be the end of judgment. Your sin will find you out and you will reap what you have sown. See, that's good for not only us to know, it's a deterrent for us, but it's also good for somebody that you think did you wrong and got by with it. Turn it over to God. He can heap coals of fire on their head. Stop trying to avenge yourself. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, I don't want them to get by. They're not getting by with it. It might seem to you like they are, but God has established a principle, a spiritual principle that is applicable for us today in this life. And then after this life. Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed a man wants to die, listen to me, and then the, what? Judgment. Not only do we have this life, but there is an eternal judgment. Everyone will be judged when they die. Well, not me, preacher. I'm saved. Well, there is a judgment for you. Yeah, there is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Almost done here. Just a couple other thoughts here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul speaking to the members of the church at Corinth who were not all living as they should be living. And they were all kind of supporting each other. Several were supporting each other in the sinful lifestyle that they were living in, thinking that, hey, as long as we can agree to it, we can get by with it. And can I tell you, even if you're in the church, even if the church agrees to it, you might think you're getting by with it. But if it violates biblical principles, you are not getting by with it. And if you are saved, there's going to be conviction, there's going to be chastisement in this life, but if you are saved and you think you're getting by with it, listen to me. Once your life on this earth is over, after you will sow what you reap, and all those things are true. But the Bible says, for we must all, this is talking about believers here, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a Christian, you will stand before your Savior, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Rewards or not. You'll be standing before the Savior, and there will be that judgment. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. It ought to be something to be feared. I don't know what it's going to be. Our sins are washed away. But what we've done and what we failed to do with the opportunities that we've had will come into question. How we lived as believers will come into question. That's what it's talking about. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Be aware of this, basically. God will judge. And then the book of Revelation, as we'll close here, book of Revelation. See, now, when you read the Old Testament and you start thinking, oh, how cruel, and why did God record hanging those five kings? Isn't that such a pitiful sight? And shouldn't we pity those five kings? And shouldn't we pity all those that live those kind of evil lifestyles and were trying to infect the whole world to live that kind of way? Listen to me. No. If they did the crime, then they need to be punished. The judgment of God. Can I tell you, once you understand the judgment of God, you will have a greater appreciation for your salvation. Amen. And that you took advantage of God's mercy while you had an opportunity to take advantage of His mercy and His grace. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. This is for all of those that didn't receive Christ as their Savior. Maybe many of those thinking they got by with living however they wanted to live and hurting as many people as they wanted to hurt. And I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Same one that controlled the earth on its axis. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now this is the books of the degree of judgment, the degree of sinful lifestyle. Not whether they're going to go to heaven or hell, how they're going to be judged in a place of hell. If they were going to heaven, they would not be at this great white throne judgment. But the Bible reveals to us there is a degree of punishment that is associated with the degree of sinful lifestyle, even for the lost. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. No one could hide from this. God's going to bring all of them to this place of judgment. Every man, woman, and child above the age of accountability that failed to receive Christ as their Savior. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. Every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Degrees in hell, but nevertheless, it is a place of hell. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, this book of life with the Lamb's book was cast in the lake of fire. If you're saved, you're written down in the Lamb's book of life. You won't be there, but you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So God recorded the judgment of these five kings. Not pleasant, but necessary. No one escapes judgment. No one. So turn judgment over to what God's established. The law. People need to learn to have to live under the laws of the land. If you break the law, then you are to be judged by the law. And if somehow you think they got by with the law, getting by with the breaking the laws of the land, listen to me. God says, your sin will find you out. judgment. Designed by God, even though it's not pleasant, even though you might not have liked to see those five kings or read this, five kings hanging on the trees in front of everybody. And there's a lot of other judgment. I mean, the stoning of those and judgment was designed by God and is necessary. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Learning much from Joshua as they're going into the promised land and understanding just all about it. It helps us to understand these things. Because biblical principles are the same today. I trust that you was able to learn from the lesson tonight of the book of Joshua. There's the decisions that you need to make right now. The invitation's always open. Always give you an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. Don't have a musical invitation on Wednesday night, but there's always an opportunity to respond. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this study on the life of Joshua. And Lord, as we go through and we realize why you have recorded what you have recorded concerning the life of Joshua, I pray that you'd help us to learn this and have this information and grow in this wisdom that you have revealed to us. Now be with us tonight as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.